I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike, and you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike.
Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What do you want to talk about today, Sean?
Okay, so hear me out. Today's topic, I want to talk about something that we have mentioned in many of our episodes, but we've never really dove into, like, what does that mean for a beginner hiker?
Okay.
Or somebody that is beginning with backpacking. And I want to talk about specifically pacing yourself on the trail.
Okay, so this is going to be another one of those do as we say, not as we do things, because there are times where we're not great at pacing ourselves.
For sure. Do as we say and not as we do. Well, I don't know. I guess in my head, it's more along the lines of, like, you and I have talked about before where, you know, neither one of us are spring chickens.
Right.
And we maybe don't do the mileage that some younger people do, or we maybe don't do the mileage that some more experienced hikers do.
Right.
Or even people that maybe hike more frequently than you and I hike. Generally speaking, we go less mileage than those people go. And also in conjunction with that, we are probably slower in our miles than other people go.
Right. Well, that part of that pace is our height too. Like, we're not the tallest of people. We don't have the longest legs. So
for sure. I mean, right. That's for sure plays a part into it, but mm-hmm. Like, you and I are very much like on the lower side of average height. but like, there is something to be said about finding your pace and sticking to that pace.
Yeah.
You and I have talked to just each other, not necessarily on this podcast, but one of the reasons why I think you and I backpack so well together is our natural pace is very similar to one another.
Right.
Like, we, you know, no matter which one of us is in front or no matter which one of us is setting the pace, like, we just naturally have a pretty similar pace.
Yeah.
Which works well for us hiking together. But
right.
I thought maybe we could dive more into, like, how do you know if you're doing a good pace? Like, how do you know if you're new and you've never done this before, what should you be watching for in your body, or what should you be watching for with the group that you're with to find out? Like, is the pace that you're going, is that going to be sustainable for however long you're supposed to go today?
Right.
Or if it's not, like, what adjustments can you make, or what can you do to, like, accommodate that? So I thought we could have, like, that discussion.
Okay. Yeah, and that's fair. And, I mean, the pace you start your trek out at is going to be different than what you ended at based on fatigue and things of that nature, but the pacing yourself portion of it will help you get to your destination feeling better, not being injured, not being winded,
right,
you know, not having to sit for 2 hours before you catch your breath to set up your tent and gear and stuff. So but I think that's a great topic to cover.
Okay, so here is my, like, initial intro. These are, like, the general rules that I have that hopefully the new backpacker or the listener can apply to their scenario, and then we can dive deeper into each of these. But here are my, like, basic two rules of thumb to follow to know, like, is the pace that you're going the right quote-unquote pace?
Okay.
So number one is the pace that you're going at. Can you do that pace while still being able to have a conversation?
Okay, without and, like, right. Deep, like, breathing
can,
while you're...
Can you carry on a normal conversation
yep.
at the pace you're going? That, for me, is, like, the biggest barometer of, are we going too fast? Maybe going too slow, but realistically, I'd rather you went too slow than too fast. So, like,
yeah,
if you're going too fast, you're, like you were saying, like, you're going to be winded. You're going to have a hard time carrying on that conversation. You're going to be taking a weird breath in the middle of a sentence. If you and I can carry on a conversation at the pace that we're going, that to me is a, like, really good barometer of, can I maintain this pace?
Right.
And obviously, like, if you're 2 feet away from the car, you haven't worked up to it yet, that's going to be different. But, like, it's, you know, are you a mile in and you're still able to have that conversation? That's probably a good pace that you're going then.
Yeah.
The second thing that I remind myself of regularly when we are out there is it's not a race. It's not a race. It's not a race. It's not a race. You're only racing with yourself. You're maybe racing with daylight based on, you know, we had a previous episode where we talked about, you know, what to do, try not to be hiking at night, all that sort of stuff.
Right. Yep.
You might have a small race with daylight. Hopefully you're prepared with all of the tools that we mentioned in that episode. If you want to learn more about that, go listen to our hiking at night episode. But realistically, you're only racing with yourself. You're setting your pace. You're setting your time frame. You don't need to run, you know?
Right.
I mean, if you're out there to run because you want to run, that's one thing. But, like, you shouldn't have to run. It's not a race. Nobody's getting first prize for getting somewhere.
Well, and it's not like you're getting to camp to because you have a meeting or you've got some kind of a deadline, anything like that. Like, you should be out in the backcountry to enjoy it. And what's the difference if you enjoy it while you're walking on the trail at a little bit slower pace and you get to camp maybe 45 minutes later than if you were overexerting yourself?
Right.
Yeah, and that kind of thing. There's not much of a difference in that time frame as long as, A, like you said, it's still daylight. You're dry. You're not, like, trying to get to, you know, the rain's going to start around 5 p.m. It's still daylight at 5 p.m., but you're trying to beat the rain and all that kind of stuff. So there are going to be instances where you're like, hey, we do need to hustle up a little bit. But if it's a nice day out, there's really no difference of what time you actually get to camp, because once you get there, you're just looking at each other and you know, right. So, I mean, you can get to camp and then you can do your little out and backs and gather firewood, do all that kind of stuff. But I mean, realistically, like I said, what's the difference of what time you actually get there?
Exactly. And I mean, I don't even know how to, you the listener or you the potential backpacker or you the potential hiker, until you go out there, you're not really going to know how far can you go in a day, right? Like, that is going to be a little bit of trial and error.
Well, and that's why we recommend our test hikes too. Like, don't just go 100%. Into the backcountry, you know?
That's, yes, and that's exactly where I was trying to go with that too.
Sorry, like, to interrupt.
But everybody, you should know your own level of fitness. You should have a rough idea of, if you've never walked a mile in the last 10 years, don't expect that you're going to go 20 miles your first day out hiking. Maybe you can. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what your fitness level is, but like, if you are a self-proclaimed couch potato and you walk to the mailbox and back and that is it, maybe take small bites when you go out hiking to start with.
Right.
If worst case scenario, you find like, okay, I could have went way further. But I would rather you determine that you could have went way further than you planned on going a very long way and you weren't able to make that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that kind of gets into some other things, like when we get back to pacing and stuff too. So like, one of the parts of pacing, and hopefully I'm not getting too far ahead of myself, but like, one of the things with pacing is take breaks too, right?
Yeah.
So there is no shame in taking a break when you need a break, and take a break sooner rather than waiting until later when you're exhausted to take that break. Like, take mini breaks. You want to take a two minute break? Take a 2 minute break. There's no problem with that. Yeah. You're probably better off in the long run taking 22 minute breaks than 2 20-minute breaks.
Right. And that's where I think you and I'm not going to say we get into trouble with it, because it's been a rarity to where we don't want to keep going after our 6 miles. I mean, I want to be done, but like, right. You know, but there have been the few cases where we were out of breath. Like, for example, last spring we took that trip, and at the 4.5 mile mark or whatever it was, we're like, I'm not winded, whatever, but I feel like we should take a break. And then we were both talking like, I'm feeling pretty good. But then by the time we hit the 7 mile mark, we were both like, what the hell happened? Like, we were both feeling fine, and now we're both dead. So,
well, and we had that one up in, I want to say it was Picture Rocks. We had that one where it was a hot day, and we were taking a break every chance that there was to refill water. Now, some of that was because we really wanted a break, but some of it was also just like, okay, we probably should take a break. Like, this is a spot to stop and refill our water. So, okay, maybe we didn't need a break right there, but we stopped there anyway before we got out of water and exhausted and depleted our resources. You know, so there's some of that that comes into play with pacing yourself too. Like,
absolutely.
If you find that you're going through a lot of water, stop and refill it every chance you get.
Right.
You know? Stop and take that 5 minutes. Take your pack off. Take a breather.
Yeah, you know, refill the bladder.
Refill your bladder. But also have a snack.
Yeah.
You know, have a drink of water. Have a snack. Take your pack off. Get off your feet. That all comes into play when we're talking about pacing yourself. Don't push yourself to exhaustion.
Right. It's not necessarily pacing yourself, just walking slower or moving slow at a slower pace. It means it could mean like five. Well, the research I was saying is saying to plan for a 5 to 10 minute break every hour.
You and I for sure don't do that.
We don't do that. No. And, but the one thing with my research that I was happy to see is that most hikers walk between 2 and 3 miles per hour on a moderate trail, which you and I are usually right around a 21, 22 minute mile.
Yeah.
So that's right in there. We're 2.5 miles per hour. So we're right in that average range. So we probably should be taking more breaks.
Well, we probably should. I mean, but again, we are new-ish, but we are not new anymore.
Right.
We have luckily found a pace that works well for us. Right. And like you were just saying, we, by all means, it's like, okay, we're not exhausted yet. We probably should take a break, though. Like, we've found this good spot. The bugs aren't too bad right here. Here's a log we can sit on. Let's take a break. We know we're going to need one in the next, you know, half hour, hour, or if you're doing it mileage based, we're going to need one in the next mile. Right. Like, this is a good spot. Let's stop here. Even though we don't feel like we need to, let's stop and take our breath. Mm-hmm. Let's have a snack. Let's refill our water. Let's use the restroom if we got to use the restroom. You know, all those things. Take that break before you need it.
Yeah.
Set a pace that allows you to do that, and set a mileage goal that's going to allow you to take those breaks. They really do go a long way in making sure you get to your spot safely.
Yeah, absolutely. And the another kind of a caveat to that too is this: we're talking right now, like all these averages and whatever is like flat terrain. Like,
oh yeah, going we're flat, pretty flat. Yeah, yeah.
When you start going uphill or downhill, your pace needs to accommodate for that too. Don't go faster because it's downhill and it's should be easier. Like, don't let gravity do the work. Like,
I am guilty of that. I am totally guilty of that mindset of like, I'm gonna run down this hill and get down as fast as I can because gravity's doing all the work.
Right. You end up killing your knees and potentially tripping and falling over yourself. And it, yeah. So uphill, though, for sure, my mantra with uphill is I take half steps. Like, I'm not even clearing an entire foot length in front of my other boot. I am taking baby steps to get up. It takes a little bit longer, but you're using so much less energy to take those little baby steps, especially on a steep hill.
I know, and you say that, and I know it's true, and like scientific studies have proven that it's true. It's so counterintuitive sometimes. It's like, oh, I feel like I'm taking twice as many steps. But like that is what science says, is those smaller, like Mike is saying, calling them baby steps, or at least even just like consistent steps, right? Like smaller, consistent steps use less energy than trying to make long strides or big gains on your uphill. The smaller steps really do use less energy. I don't know the science behind it, but that's what the scientists say.
Well, think about, I mean, there's a reason why they like your stair treads are at the level they're at. Some people like to take two steps at a time. You exert more energy doing that. Do you get there quicker? Yeah, maybe, depending on the staircase and all that, but you exert more energy taking two steps at a time rather than the standardized stair tread. So
Right.
it's same concept out in the backcountry. It's just you don't have a stair person. Some areas you do, but when you just have flat ground but it's going uphill, just take a smaller stride and you'll exert yourself a lot less.
Well, and so I guess while we're on the topic of like overexerting yourself and taking those big steps, some tips to know if you are overexerting yourself or taking too long of strides or taking too big of steps. Here are some things to watch for so that you know that maybe you are taking too big of strides or whatever.
And that you
The
should either
first
take a
one,
break or slow down.
well, right, exactly. So one of the things to watch for is your breathing getting too heavy? So that goes back to my initial thing of the conversation test. Can you carry on a conversation? Or are you breathing too hard to carry on a conversation? If you are breathing too hard to carry on a conversation, you're probably taking too big of strides, or you're exerting yourself harder than you should be. You're gonna get like your legs, or for me personally, my hips start aching when I find that I'm getting out of stride. So pay attention. How do your legs feel? How do your feet feel? How do your hips feel? If you've got trekking poles, like, is it hurting your shoulders or your arms or any of those sorts of things? Is anything getting uncomfortable? And when I say uncomfortable, I mean more than just like your normal, I'm maybe out carrying more weight than I'm used to carrying, but like, is it getting like where it's actually hard to do instead of just being uncomfortable? You've got you're sweating too hard or overheating. Like, everybody knows what, if you're overheating, you should know what that feels like. And if you are doing that, slow down, take a break, do all the things. But then here's the other one that is not like real intuitive, but totally makes sense if you think about it. Are you tripping or stumbling a lot? So like, if you're
I
tripping
don't
or
even have to be
stumbling,
tired to do that,
well, for
though.
sure. Like, there's okay, so there's like tripping because there's something you didn't see, right? Or you like slipped on a rock that was a little bit loose or whatever. There's that.
Okay,
But
fair
if it
enough.
is normal terrain and you find yourself tripping over your own feet or stumbling a little bit, you're tired. You're not picking your feet up enough. You are too tired. Take a break. If you're afraid you're going to fall down, stop and take a break. Have a snack. Refill your water. Do all those things. You're tripping and stumbling for a reason. You're overexerting yourself. But so yeah, I mean, so if you find yourself in that situation, really, your options are slow down, take a break. Those are going to be your biggest things. Slow down or take a break. Should come naturally to you that those are the things, but pay
It
attention
doesn't
for those
always.
signs that, hey, there should be no shame in the group that you're going with. If somebody is going to ask you to go hiking with them, or you are going to ask somebody else to go hiking with you, we want it all to be fun. We don't want anybody getting hurt. Find a pace that works for everybody, not just the most experienced or the people that are in the best shape.
The best thing to do is pretty much let the person that's slowest lead or set the pace, just so you're not causing them to overexert themselves.
I think that's a great idea. For sure. Like, you and I kind of trade off back and forth, like who's in the lead or whatever. partly because whoever's in the lead gets all the cobwebs and the spider webs and all that stuff. So that's part of it. But yeah, for sure, from a pace setting standpoint, have the slowest person set the pace.
Right.
Go at that person's pace, not in a, like, make fun of them way or not in a shameful way, but like in a, this is the pace that the rest of us can go. If this is what is comfortable for the slowest person, the rest of the people can accommodate. Don't make that slow person accommodate a fast pace that might be dangerous or cause injury or cause, you know, dehydration or overheating or any of that sort of stuff. I think having that person lead is a great thing.
Right.
But even just the constant, without that, the constant communication with each other. Mike and I are constantly asking, how's this pace? How are we doing? Are you doing okay? Do you need a break? Like, check in with each other so that you know that everybody's on the same page.
Yep. And compliment each other as well. We're not as great as we should be on that, but like, let the others know they're doing a good job or whatever. Cause if they're feeling like they're slowing you down or anything like that, a little nudge in the positive direction goes a long way to be like, oh, okay, so we are going at a good pace. I'm not slowing them down, making them get to camp late or whatever. So
I love that idea. Mm-hmm. Like you and I don't probably do it as much as we should do it, but we do it too, though. Like realistically, like, you know, you get halfway through the day, it's like, oh, you're doing a great job. Or, you know, even just like a high five when we're like getting to a rest stop or whatever.
Like, oh, we made it to trail marker four or whatever, like high five. Yeah. You know, like, yep.
I feel like we encourage each other, but that's a great point to make. Make a point of encouraging each other. That's a great idea. Like positive reinforcement versus like negative reinforcement. Right.
Right. I mean, I don't have a whole lot on this topic just because I'm not going to say it's a common sense thing because we wouldn't have to have the conversation if it was a common sense thing. Like people want it. Once you get moving, you kind of, you see some stuff and then you want to be done. Like, I don't know if that's everybody's experience, but like, that's kind of I don't necessarily want to be done, but once you're in the woods, a lot of the woods looks alike until you get to an overlook for a river or, you know, whatever. Like, there's definitely beautiful, beautiful sights that not a lot of people get to see. But once you, like, get away from the river and everything, you're just in the woods. I don't know. We've had this conversation. Woods is woods. So, like, there's
not... like, oh, there's another tree. There's another tree.
So, like, sometimes you start getting a little tired and you're just, I just want to be done and everything. But, like, pacing yourself will help you not get to that mindset too quickly, like, of just like, oh, I got four more miles of this. Like, you should be enjoying that part of the trip, too. Not just the getting to camp and sitting down. You should be enjoying the hike, too. So... so that's where it all comes. You and I think this year, one of my goals for this year is definitely making sure that we are pacing ourselves better. So our hips aren't getting sore. Knees, our legs aren't getting sore. Might take a little bit longer. We might only go 2 miles an hour and we have a full 30-minute mile. But if we get there, when we get there and we actually feel better when doing it,
true,
our confidence level and our want to do it, our desire to do it, and we may end up doing it more rather than just the few times we go. So I don't know. I think that there's things for us to maybe even learn from this and to try out. So
I do have a few more notes that I'll go through real quick.
For sure.
So one of the things,
doesn't even have to take your time. It doesn't even have to be quick.
I see what you did there. So just so one of the topics that I had kind of wanted to talk about was things that can affect your pace, right? And we've kind of mentioned a few of them already just in casual conversation in this episode. But just to point out that to go back to our planning, and I know we always seem to talk about planning, but one thing to take into consideration when you are planning your backpacking trip, flat, like we were saying, you and I typically do flat terrain. If you know going out there that you are going to have a lot of Uneven terrain, a lot of inclines, a lot of declines, a lot of bullshit. Know that that's going to impact your pace. Mm-hmm. Like, plan for that, especially when it comes to like how many miles do you think you can go that day. Plan your pace accordingly if it is going to be flat ground versus a lot of inclines and a lot of declines. Even to the extent of like the ground underneath your feet.
Yeah.
Are you going to be in sand? Are you going to be on rocky terrain? Are mm-hmm. you going to be on hard packed dirt? All of that can impact your pace that you're going and make it easier or more difficult to walk or hike or whatever word you want to use. And then another thing that's going to impact your pace is your altitude. Are you hiking in the Rocky Mountains versus down at sea level? Right. The amount of oxygen available to you is going to affect the pace that you're able Absolutely. To go. So plan on adjusting your pace based on the altitude in the air that you're going to have to be able to breathe.
Right.
Which goes into all the other things with muscle fatigue and all that sort of stuff. So all of those things are things that can affect your pace. Know that before you get into them.
I'll add something in there that my research led me when I was talking about the 2 to 3 miles per hour as your average hiker pace, sure. things like yep. that. They did say that when you're planning it, a lot of times when you're looking at your topographical maps and all that stuff, you know or have an estimation of your elevation gain, things like that. They do say for your trip, you add 30 to 60 minutes for your overall time frame per 1,000 feet of elevation gained. Just because you're gonna go slower going uphill. So
that's a good tip.
That's something that I came across with that. So
30 to 60 minutes per 1,000 feet of elevation gain.
Yep.
Okay. That is great. I did not come across that. That's awesome. Yep. The other thing, and I hate to bring this up to you, Mike, because I know that you are going to laugh.
Oh boy.
Trekking poles. So trekking poles, I know we have like our own relationship with trekking poles, but from multiple sources that I was reading, trekking poles can help you set a rhythm.
Yes, that's what my research.
We're talking about pacing,
mm-hmm.
trekking poles can help you set and maintain a pace based on your ability. From what I understand and from what I read, it's basically based on the way that you swing the poles as you walk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is a consistent swinging pace, which can help you set a tempo for your hike.
That's what I was reading. And they're supposed to help with hip and knee fatigue. I didn't find that when we used them, but everybody's experience with them is different. So
I know. I keep reading that they're like good for weight distribution. They're good for, like you were saying, fatigue with your knees or fatigue mm-hmm. with your legs. I don't know if we were using them wrong.
No clue.
I don't know. I'm willing to try them again. I'm not saying I'm ruling it out. And if we're talking about pacing, supposedly they're really good at helping with pacing. So I feel like it is worth bringing up in this episode.
Yep. Well, enough said.
That's what I'm going to say about that. Supposedly they're helpful with setting a pace. We mentioned it before, but worth repeating just because I've got this as kind of like a separate spot in my notes. Nutrition and hydration
mm-hmm.
play a big role in maintaining a pace. So if you start out the day fully hydrated with, you know, food in your belly, and you hike for an 8-hour day, but you never stop to rehydrate and you never stop to refill your belly, mm-hmm. you are going to start out at one pace and you are going to end at an entirely different pace because you are Absolutely. Getting exhausted or malnourished. That might not be the right word, but like inappropriately nourished.
Right.
Water and snacks make a big difference mm-hmm. during the day. When you are taking those rest breaks that we're talking about, have a little snack. have a little something salty, get a little sugar into you, have some water. It really will help you keep a pace for the rest of the day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Making sure, like, that's where you and I usually have, like, either our protein bars or our trail mix or anything like that in one of our front little pouches on our belt, on our waist. So easily accessible. And then while you're refilling your bladders or your water bottles, anything like that, you can just crunch on something and
Or have your beef jerky or have or some of your sunflower seeds, some little salty something or whatever.
Make sure you got a little protein in there and make sure you got some saltiness and sweets and you're good to go.
Exactly. It really does make a difference. You know, your muscle fatigue is a real thing. Dehydration is a real thing, especially if you're sweating a lot. You know, like all those things are real things that are going to impact your ability to get to camp safely or get back to your vehicle safely. Don't be going so fast that you're hurting yourself. Don't wear yourself out too quick. You know, everybody wants to shine bright like a diamond, but, you know, don't burn yourself out too quick. That, realistically, don't go full speed right off the get and burn yourself out.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't in a while, but I am a runner or a jogger, you know, when it's nice out. All of the coaching and training that from getting into running and everything, your first quarter of your run should be your slowest. That should be your warm-up pace, getting your joints and your body used to the movement that you're going to be doing. So if you're going for a mile run, your first quarter mile should be the slowest, and your last quarter mile should be your fastest. Like, you should be building up the entire time. You don't want to overexert yourself to where at the end you're dying and slowing down.
Yeah.
So if you do it right, you should be able to just go, and obviously with your breaks and everything, feel better at the end than you did when you started. I've never had that case, so I'm not saying, like, there's been plenty of times where we get to camp and we're just like, well, that was it? Like, so I guess maybe we did do a few of those, right? So, but yeah.
Well,
so.
I think the whole thing is, like, if we could boil it all down, you know your body best, right? Right. You, the listener, you, Mike, me, Sean, you know your body better than anybody else does. Listen to it. Like, listen to what your body is telling you. If you're with a group of people and you feel like they're going too fast for you, speak up. You know yourself better than they do. Don't let somebody else tell you what pace you should be going.
Right.
There is no shame in you being a little bit slower than somebody else. If you're a little bit faster than somebody else, good for you, but try to stick with the group. You know, like, it's just, you know you best. This is the time to know your body the best. Like, it is not the time to try to impress somebody or to try to, you know, set your personal record or whatever. Listen to your body. Do the things that your body is encouraging you to do. Take those breaks when you need to. Pay attention.
Yeah. Well, and if you are not the slowest person, but you are pacing yourself with the slowest person in your group, then you are going to have more energy because you are exerting yourself even less. So there's a bonus for you. When you do get to camp and this person is tired, winded, whatever, doesn't want to move for a minute to set up camp, you can help out, get firewood. You've got this extra energy, things like that, that you're not that tired for. So there's benefits to that, too, is that you will just be better off in the long run than if you were just like, screw you guys, I'll see you at camp.
Right. Well, and I mean, I guess just a couple other points to make is whatever your pace is, especially for the new people, you know, like if you're out there and you thought, you know, pace and distance kind of go hand in hand. So let's say you thought you could make it 10 miles to the day. And you're halfway through your day, and the pace that you're going, you're only 4 miles in at the halfway point.
Right.
pay attention to the clock, pay attention to the time, pay attention to the sun. Do you need to adjust your overall plan based on your pace? Now, I don't say that to say, like, do it because you're going to have to pick up the pace. I'm saying that in a, do you need to adjust your plan based on the pace that you're able to go? So those are micro adjustments that you might have to allow for in your trip to make sure that everybody can complete the hike safely. Don't push yourself too hard. Like, still listen to your body, still do the pace that you can do, but allow the room and the space in your trip to make those micro adjustments to adjust for the pace, especially when you're first starting out and you maybe don't know. Give yourself that grace to make those adjustments without beating yourself up about it. Like, if you don't know, you don't know. And if things go a little bit, you know, askew of the plan, that's allowed. Like, it's not set in stone. You know, you can make adjustments.
Yeah.
To be safe and to be healthy and to enjoy this. And it, like Mike was saying earlier, this should be a fun experience.
Right.
It shouldn't be miserable the whole time.
Right. If you find yourself miserable the entire time and only having fun when you're at camp, you're not really going to want to do it again, because there are ways to just go to camp by driving there. Like,
sure.
You know, so.
Right. So
part of the experience is the backpacking and the hiking. So
I can imagine if Mike and Sean had a horrible experience the first time that we went out, couldn't move for days, were way wildly off on how far we could go, we wouldn't have went again. I mean, realistically, we wouldn't have. Like, if it's miserable the whole time and it's awful, what do I want to go do that again for?
Right.
I don't.
Right.
So hopefully you are doing the pace that makes you enjoy this where you want to do it again.
Right. Yep, absolutely. So that's all I have. I mean, realistically, like I said, your first quarter of your trip should be the slowest. Start slow, build yourself up. I'm not saying just because the last part should be your fastest, I'm not saying your last half can't be your fastest or the last three quarters can't be your fastest.
Right.
Like, that can all be paced very evenly and you just keep moving. But if it takes you a half hour to get to your first mile, that's fine. If your next mile is only 20 minutes, that's fine too. But you shouldn't necessarily try to just keep beating every mile just to beat every mile. Like, oh shit, I slowed down to 23 minutes for this mile. We got to pick up the pace.
Right.
Let it happen naturally. Don't overexert yourself. And realistically, it's all to stay safe and not uninjured out there.
Right, right. And I think the biggest test that I follow, and just to reiterate the first thing that I said, I really do think that conversation test is the biggest and the best barometer. Like, if you are at a pace where you can have a conversation, that's probably a good pace.
Right.
If you are at a pace where you are struggling to breathe and struggling to have words, you're going too fast. Slow down.
Right.
And that's an easy test to have while you're out in the middle of hiking.
We've been there. Like, I vividly remember this one uphill that we had, and it just kicked my ass. And we got to the top of this uphill and you're like, you okay? And I was just like, hey, give me a minute. Like I would, there was no conversation having after that. So it was, you just give me a minute and we can continue on in a little bit, but I needed that break.
Like, and sometimes that break, I mean, realistically, I mean, and this is speaking from experience, sometimes that break is literally just standing there leaning against a tree.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a big production of taking off your pack and filling up your food and or filling up your water and having a snack and all that sort of stuff. A break can just be stopping and leaning against a tree for a couple of minutes to catch your breath and reset and get your bearings back. I mean, I know I've gone up. Uphill, steep inclines. I've been in the same situation that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You get to the top, you're so out of breath, you almost start getting dizzy.
Yep.
Your legs feel like they're going to give out. That is unsafe to keep going when your body is in that state. Stop and lean against a tree or whatever you need to do. Compose yourself and then continue on after that. No shame in that whatsoever.
No, none at all. And I mean, and those breaks, realistically, those are going to be your 1 or 2 minuters. So they're not going to last as long
Yeah.
as the ones where you're taking your pack off, doing all that kind of stuff. Those are more your 5, 10, 15 minute breaks. These ones, you get uphill or at the down, end of a steep downhill, and you just want to look back and be like, shit, we were up there. That type of a thing. So take your mini breaks, your micro breaks too. Like stop and catch your breath when you need to. So.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess that is all I've got on my list. Did you have anything else you wanted to cover before we wrap up today?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it all.
All right, awesome. Well, if anybody else has pacing tips that they would like to share with the community, we always love to hear any feedback that you all have. You can send that feedback to us by email, which is seanmikehike@gmail.com. You can always reach us on our website, which is seanmikehike.com, or on all of the major socials at seanmikehike. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Share this episode, whatever you need to do to get the word out about the about this podcast. We certainly do appreciate that.
Absolutely.
And until next time, go take a hike.
Yeah, go pace yourself.
All right, we'll see you guys in a couple
See you guys in a
weeks.
couple weeks.